In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We as Orthodox Christians come from a very long line of saints and fathers and mothers who have fought for the faith in the face of people who have tried to distort the faith, repress the faith, persecute the faith. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate these Sundays of the Holy Fathers. We're commemorating all of these people who came before us, who stood firm for the faith and are good examples for us. St. Paul talks about what it means to fight for the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." First of all, when he addresses Timothy as a man of God, this is a great title. This is a title that was given to Moses, to David, to various other saints and prophets of the Old Testament. And it's a title that we should all be aspiring to be ourselves. And the word man there is not man in the limited sense of being a male. In Greek, the word is anthropos, which means it's a person, a human being. And so that means that you can be a woman of God, too. And as a matter of fact, the word woman has man in it for a reason. One small step for man, one giant step for mankind is not just talking about one gender. It's talking about the human race. But when he says flee these things, what is he talking about? Well, if you have to read the verses prior to that, but basically he talks about false teachers and the kinds of things that motivate them to teach false things. And he says they're basically filled with pride, envy, strife, revilings, evil suspicions. They're given to useless wranglings, to greed, and to foolish lust. And so St. Paul is saying to flee these things. And in a passage where he talks about fighting for the faith, you might say, well, fleeing doesn't sound like fighting. Well, fleeing is actually a tactic that any good military will use when you're in a situation where you're not going to get ahead by advancing, you want to retreat. And there's many wars that were won because of a good strategic retreat at the right moment. But when we're faced with temptations, we in our own strength are not going to be able to take on those temptations directly. We need to run from these things. And that's what St. Paul is telling Timothy to do, to run from these things. But it's not enough to just run away from sin, but we have to also pursue virtue. He goes on to say, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And when he talks about righteousness, what he means by that is righteousness is when you do that which is right in your dealings with your fellow man, but also in terms of your relationship with God, when you're in a right relationship with God. Godliness refers to reverence and piety. In an encyclical of the Eastern Patriarchs to the Pope after the schism, they made the point that in the Orthodox Church, the people are the guardians of piety. And if you read St. Paisius's life and also you read his spiritual counsels, he was an extremely pious man. He thought that piety was very important, and he encouraged people to be very pious. So when he came into church, he didn't do so lightly. He did so piously and reverently. He venerated the icons thoughtfully. He never took anything lightly. He never did anything without showing due respect. When he trimmed his oil lamps, he didn't just wash his hands and let it go down the drain with the oil that he had gotten on his hands. He would wipe his hands so that he wouldn't allow any of that oil to be treated in a disrespectful manner since it had been offered to God, and then he would put that into a place where it would later be burned. So approaching your life with piety, not just when you're at church, but in your own home, you should have an icon corner. You should be praying your morning and evening prayers. You should have prosper that you partake every morning before you eat anything and some holy water that you drink. All these things add to an environment where you have a sense of God's presence in your life, and it makes it easier for you to live a holy life. By faith, he means having faith in God, of course, but it also means being a faithful Christian, to live out that life. And when he speaks of love, he's obviously speaking of love for God and neighbor, which Christ tells us fulfills the whole law. When he speaks of patience, We can misunderstand what that means because it's not just patience in the sense that you're just tapping your toes and waiting for something to be over with. It could be also translated as endurance. It's a endurance which overcomes. And you can see that in the example of many fathers. St. Athanasius the Great, for example, suffered many things. He was exiled 3 times because he stood for the faith. And yet he endured these persecutions, and eventually he successfully defended the faith against the Arian heresy. St. Maximus the Confessor had his tongue cut out. And I believe he had some of his fingers cut off so he couldn't write because the emperor, who at that time was a heretic, was trying to silence him. That's the kind of patience that's being talked about there. It's an endurance which is victorious. And when it talks about meekness, we've said this many times, but this is not talking about meekness in the weak sense that sometimes people take this word to mean. It really means to be self-controlled, to be under God's authority, to be submissive to God, but also to be able to be strong, but to control that strength and to only exercise that strength in ways that God wants you to. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. St. Paul's telling him, he first says to flee evil, and then he tells them that they need to follow the virtues, follow righteousness, follow holiness, follow love, and then he says that he needs to fight. And to inspire him to fight the good fight, St. Paul first reminds him of the profession of faith which he made when he embraced the Christian faith and baptism, and also when he took the office of bishop on, because even to this day, when you consecrate a bishop, that bishop gives a profession of faith. You're making promises when you are baptized, and a bishop is certainly making even more promises that are going to stand firm for the faith. And you may have been baptized as an infant, but promises were made on your behalf by your godparents, and your parents chose to have you baptized as an infant. And so you're just as responsible for these promises as if you'd been baptized as an adult. You need to take these promises seriously. And then he also reminds St. Timothy of the prize that we're fighting for. We're fighting the good fight of faith because we want to lay hold on eternal life. We have to live out what we promised, and then we can claim that prize that we have been called to. And then he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth or giveth life, you could say, all things. In other words, everything lives because God has given them life. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, or you could say sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, or in other words, he's the only one that has it that can bestow it upon us, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. St. Paul reminds Timothy of the example of Christ. Christ is our example to follow when it comes to standing for the truth. Christ didn't seek to evade the cross, but he stood for the truth, and he went to the cross for our salvation. So St. Paul is therefore charging Timothy. He's commanding him to keep the commandment to fight the good fight of faith until the end of the age, when Christ himself shall appear and will reward those who have been faithful with the crown of life. Now, one thing I should say is that when we talk about fighting, and fighting for the faith, there's fighting in there, and there's appearing to fight. We have a thing that goes on now that's known as virtue signaling. And what is virtue signaling? That's where someone gets up and says something like, I believe that women are human beings and should be treated with respect, and they get a round of applause. Well, you know, no one's going to stone you because you said something like that, because that's pretty much what everybody believes. And so... you know, congratulations that you hold the mainstream view. And in the Orthodox Church, at least, you would not be persecuted today if you were to say, I believe that those who say that there was a time when Christ was not, and that he's a created being, and he's not God from all eternity, that those people are heretics. Well, you know, that's what we believe. That fight happened a long time ago, and if you'd have said that back in St. Athanasius' day, that would have cost you something. But to say that today, it doesn't really cost you anything. Now, if you go to Jehovah's Witness Convention, maybe it might cost you something there, but it's not going to cost you anything in the Orthodox Church. To virtue signal costs you nothing. To be virtuous requires sacrifice. It requires that it actually cost you something. And to fight for the faith today means to take positions that are not popular, that might actually offend people, that might cause people to ridicule you or persecute you. And so today, fighting for the faith, you need to fight where the battle is actually being waged. And today, the battle is being waged in areas like, what is sexuality? Are there two sexes, or are there an infinite number of sexes? Can a man have sex with another man and be an Orthodox Christian and take communion? No. Those things are heretical. But today, that's not the popular opinion. But if you want to fight the fight of faith, then you have to be willing to say things that people don't want to hear. But fighting the fight of faith is not just merely having the right set of opinions, but it also means living out the faith yourself and having a life that's consistent with your profession of faith. Because you might even have the right opinion and say the right things about things like human sexuality or the various alphabet soup kinds of things, but if you yourself are living an immoral life, you're not fighting the fight of faith, because your life is not consistent with the things that you say. We have to live out that life every day, in big ways and in small ways. St. Paul summed up what he was admonishing St. Timothy to do in his second epistle to St. Timothy, in which he talks about his own good fight. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Amen.